Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, thanks for joining us. Here we are. We're back with you at the Jay County Security Center here in Portland, Indiana, with the blessing, the help, and the support of Sheriff Ray Newton and his staff. We've been treated great when we were here before, and it started out that way here today. This is our second time to bring you this series we call Jailhouse Recovery. It's a pretty unique thing, as this is only the second time this has ever been done from a county jail, to the best of our knowledge, in the entirety, not just of this county, state, but this nation, the second time in all of the United States. And we're thrilled to be able to bring you this hope and help to hear these stories of enlightenment. Yeah, there are people who have stumbled. They've fallen in their own way. But who among us hasn't, okay? We're not here to condemn or condone. We're here just to share. And we hope that by that, we'll be able to touch, change, and save lives. So we welcome you. Our guest today is Bertie. Welcome, Bertie.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Thank you. Tell us, Bertie, a little bit about who you are, a little personal information, please.
Well, this is the first time I've ever done this. I'm 34, and I've got 3 kids, and this is terrifying.
What? This idea of the... Well, I think you find out it's not overly painful, and the help that you can offer is going to give you some encouragement, knowing you're making a difference. I'm not being critical of this place or what happens, but you don't always get to make a difference. You get to make a difference now, and thank you. Why are you even willing to face the fear of doing this?
Because I feel like my story could definitely help somebody.
Let's hear about that story. You start wherever you want to start.
I've been in active addiction since 2001, since I was 11. I hit it really, really, really well. It started with my dad. He was my supplier, and it went from there.
What was your drug of choice at that time, or maybe it wasn't even choice, the drug that you were using?
Meth.
Meth, okay. Did it get into something else following meth, or for all those years was meth your monster?
When I was 11, it started with meth. And then it was to help me keep up with all the household chores and keep up with everything I had on my plate, because I took care of everything in the house, from getting the kids up to taking them to school to getting them after school to everything in the house. And then I also took care of the neighbor's house as well and all that. So I had a lot on my plate. So to help keep up with everything, he was giving me meth to keep me going.
Sure, sure.
By the time I was 15, I was doing an ounce every other day. And then I started doing heroin as well with my dad, and just sort of went downhill from there.
What do you remember as your lowest point, psychologically, physically? Yeah.
Being used to be paid for. Him using me to pay for his own drugs.
Okay. Did you have siblings, brothers and sisters?
Yeah, but being the oldest, I was the one that it kind of fell to for that responsibility for the household. Everything fell to me.
Typical. Yeah, that's typical. And I assumed when you were talking about having to take care of the kids and all, that you were probably the oldest of the group. And that, like I said, that's why it fell on you for all of that. Did you have anybody in your corner at that time? Anybody you could confide in or share with of what was happening?
No. No. We don't talk about it.
That, and I'm not trying to tell you what you should have, could have, would have done, but that idea, anytime it's in that genre of we don't talk about it, you got to know there's a reason why we don't talk about it.
It doesn't help when your dad's a preacher.
Well, that, you know, you just hit it home with me. I'm a retired preacher, okay? I've never had that issue. I've got my imperfections. That struggle wasn't one of them, all right? And so whatever your age may have been at that time, who are they going to believe, a wild teenager or a preacher dad?
Exactly.
And that had to go on in your mind and heart a lot, I would think. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So what do you remember as the moment that said, I can fight my way out of this. I've got somebody who will help me with this. I've got a path. I've got a journey. I've got some hope now. That lights on moment that said, this can become different.
It would have been when I had my second stillborn when I was 16. And he was my first boyfriend. It wasn't his child, but he found out about it, and he told me to go to the cops. He said that if I didn't go to the cops, then he would, because he said it was wrong what was going on. And I got scared that he would get in trouble with my dad and the church and everything, so I went to the cops, and they did, like, a kind of an investigation with it, but my stepmom begged me and said that if I went and recanted my statement to the cops, that she would allow me and my sister to go live with my mom, who I thought was dead for 8 years. So I recanted my statement, but it gave me that hope that, you know, me and my sister could have a chance of getting away from my dad and getting away from all of that. So I recanted my statement. I did get away, but they kept my sister. So
what's the age difference between the two of you?
4 years.
4 years.
It made her the oldest in the family then.
Okay. Okay. In all honesty, near tears with this, nobody deserved to be treated that way. I don't care if it was even after you being, pardon me, a hellion. I don't care if it was a matter of it happening after your addiction. Nobody deserves that. Have you come to the point, and this is a personal question you may not want to answer, and that's fine. Have you come to the point to where you can say, I didn't deserve that? Number one, I didn't cause that. Number two, I didn't deserve that.
Honestly, some days are still hard. Some days, no, because I know what my sister's gone through after I left. And when I think about that, I'm like, I blame myself because I got out and she didn't. But then there are some days that I'm like, you know, it's not my fault. I tried, and I tried to get her out, and I tried my best. But and there are some days that I'm hit or miss.
And continuing in that vein of honesty, I hope you can come to that point at some time to realize and recognize, I didn't cause this. I couldn't prevent it. That you find your self-worth and value in ways that are appropriate and healthy, God-given, God-shared, and recognized through Him. And I have said this before, probably in private more than I've ever said it publicly, and I don't think I've ever said it here on our podcast. But I will. I understand to the best of my abilities why you are where you are today. And I say that in total support of you. There is no condemnation of you in that. I get it why some turn to drugs. I'm not saying it's a good choice. I'm not saying I support that choice. But I understand it. I understand why a person lies instead of taking a belt beating or something, some sort of abuse. I get that. I'm not saying I agree, but when you know what the end product's going to be, you know, if you're not fighting for yourself one way or the other, there may be nobody else who's fighting with you. They can be fighting against you. I respect you. You know, I hope you come to recognize, as I said a moment ago, that worth and value that lifts you above anything that's happened to you. You're not what has happened to you. You're much more than that. And you can almost see it in your eyes. Obviously see the pain, but see the potential and the promise that when you come to recognize who you are and who you've been created to be, regardless of how you've been treated. And I cannot imagine the confusion in your mind and heart about the church, about God, Christ, the whole list, the whole thing, about faith, about, quote, religion, any of that.
You'd actually be surprised. That's probably the one thing I'm not confused about.
May I ask you what your findings are on that?
I might not have a dad, but I do have a father.
That, wow. I buy that. That's a great comment. Thank you. Forgive me for assuming that you weren't that big, okay?
No.
That you hadn't gotten there yet.
He's probably the one thing that got me through everything.
And see, so many times it's just the opposite, because we look at God the Father as our earthly father. And if you had chosen that path, you'd be a long ways off. But
God,
obviously, that's not who you are.
He taught us forgiveness. He taught us to love. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't know how to love. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't know how to forgive. I had to have that teaching and that lesson to know I can get through this. And God put me here for a reason. He created me in His image, so He put me here for a reason. I'm here for a reason.
And you just, if nothing else happens today during these interviews, you're the reason I came to get to hear that. Somebody who can forgive and does forgive at that level. That's big. Thank you. Thank you. What is it that sees you through, other than obviously God? What is it that sees you through?
There's two things.
Okay.
My children, my sense of humor.
Okay. That's required with children. Okay.
Yeah.
How old are your children?
I have three. My oldest turns 14 on November 29th. My daughter will be 13 in January. And my youngest is going to be 11 this year.
So, Bertie, let me ask, how much longer are you going to be incarcerated?
I actually just got sentenced recently. I have 4 years DOC and then 5 years probation.
Okay.
This is my first time being in trouble.
Okay. Tough question. Can you handle it?
I have to. Yes. I've been through worse.
Okay. Wow. You got me. This is not what I expected when you sit down there, okay?
I've never told my story to anybody.
Well.
Bits and pieces of it, but never the whole thing.
My. We're honored to get to hear it. I'm sure our fans, if that's the right word, our listeners is a better word, okay? But I'm sure they're feeling much of what I am and are appreciative of your honesty and transparency. When you're done, that 4 years of sentencing, and of course then the parole, but you can start this during that time, once you're out of luck and key, okay? What's your strategy? Have you worked one out yet? Do you have pieces to it to keep you from relapsing into drugs or even how to rebuild bridges?
I'm working on it piece by piece, sort of. I've been doing the MRT class here at the jail, and I know I'm going to do anything that is offered to me once I get to prison. I don't really know this side of it right now because I've never been sober before. I started drugs when I was 11, so like the whole being
you don't
sober,
know how to live life.
I really don't. I have no idea what I'm doing. Everything is new to me, so I'm like, teach me because I am teachable. What am I doing? I have no idea. I'm taking it day by day.
Gotcha. How have you even maintained a sense of humor with all that you've been through?
I don't know. Honestly, that's the only thing I've got. My mom used to tell me that I'd be the next Stephen King because, like, when I write, it's so morbid. But when I tell jokes, it comes naturally. So I don't know what I am, but it's like my jokes are the only thing I've got. It's the only thing that gets me through.
I haven't seen the Stephen King side in you yet, okay? Oh. But I appreciate your smile and your laughter, and it's a very natural chuckle of a sort that goes with it, and I do appreciate that. What is the advice you'd give to somebody else who is now going through what you went through as a younger person? What would you tell them?
Don't give up because you're worth it. Be the person that you needed as a child. Learn to be that person.
Be the person you needed as a child. Yeah. That's some sage advice, okay? It doesn't sound like something Stephen King would say, but I get it coming from you. What? Do you have any relationship with your dad at this time? Right now, today, do you want one?
No.
And that's okay. That's okay. That's totally understandable. The idea of changing our people, places, and things don't just happen with our dealer and, you know, people we use with and that same place we used to go. That's in all walks of life, and you've got more than ample reason to feel that.
For me, not only was my dealer my dad, he was also kind of the person that sold me for his own gain. Yeah. So it's like I don't want anything to do with him, so I forgave him. I moved on, and he's not dead in my book. He's just not in my book.
I get it, and that makes total sense, and I'm sure that is even the godly path. You know, God, if we touch a hot stove, we don't go back the next time it's hot to touch it again. We've got to get away from certain things in our life, certain behaviors, and those around us who are toxic for us are gonna bring us harm.
And I found out that he got sober and he's doing well in his life. So like, I'm grateful for that. And I'm glad that he's doing well. I don't feel like that's a person I need in my life, whether he's doing well or not. I wish him all the best and I pray for him every night. And I'm glad that, you know, he's doing well. I just don't feel like he's somebody that I need in my life.
That's okay. My understanding of God's word says that's okay. He didn't want us to go back into a situation that hurt us before. Now you have the wisdom and the knowledge, the experiences to recognize that you couldn't walk away before. You can now. So you don't set yourself up for a fall, and you don't tempt the Lord thy God saying, hey, I'm going to do this. You'll take care of me, right? Yeah, I'll take care of you, but I can take care of you before you go too. So yeah, that's a good aspect of it. What do you want folks to know about the birdie of today?
I'm still learning who I am. I'm still learning who I am without the addiction. I don't know who I am, because who I was before was always, you know, the addict or someone's mom or someone's old lady. I don't know who I am without all those extra pieces. I don't know who sober me is. So as I'm learning who I am, be patient with me while I learn who I am. But the core of who I am is I'm still here. Like, just be patient with me.
Those are key words. Just be patient with me. Too many times, because of who you were, we don't give you the chance to become who you can be.
Exactly.
We've already judged you as that individual who blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
You know, however that may fit for us, instead of giving you the chance, the opportunity, the encouragement to help you become all that you can be.
Yeah, and nobody really knows about my past, because I've never told anybody about all of that. So this was my chance to be like, look, this is what made me who I was while I was that addict. So just be patient with me while I build myself back up. Sober.
You deserve a second chance.
Thank you.
You didn't have a chance for the first chance. That sounds confusing. But yeah, well, good. I'm glad you did. You may have to explain it to somebody else. But it's the idea of having this attitude. And I don't think a lot of people get that when we're in that addiction, we're in the heavy throes of it, that we're not maturing, we're not learning. You know, we just kind of, you basically shut yourself off at 11. And I'm not being critical, but between that time and any sober time, you actually lose those years. You may gain them on the birthday cake. It may require another candle, but the wisdom and the experiences,
honestly, I feel like that's why everybody's so surprised when I say I'm 34, and they're like, well, you don't act it. That's because I don't think mentally I am 34 yet. I'm still, like, in my 20s. Give me a chance. I'll catch up.
Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't make you a slow person. It's just somebody who needs more time to get to where we've already had the time to get there.
Yeah, my maturity level will get there eventually.
Yeah, well, the way you've expressed yourself here this afternoon, you've proven some maturity to me that is powerful. We thank you for that. What's your goal in life? I know you want to get back with your kids. I know you want to be a full and healthy you. But what are some of those stars that you're reaching for?
Okay, so someone once told me I was basic, and that's totally fine, but I just want to be sober, happy, and at peace. That's it. Like, I don't want none of that extra stuff. I don't want anything else. I just want sober, happy, and peace. That's it. Because everything else was, when I was using, everything was chaotic and busy and loud. I just want sober, happy, and peace.
You know what? I've had the privilege and opportunity to connect with a lot of people over the years, and I've maybe said this one other time that I can think of. You're a book waiting to happen. And there's the name, Sober, Happy, and at Peace. being where you are from where you were. I'm blown away by it and count this a privilege and an opportunity to have gotten to be a part of this. So as we get ready to wrap up here, Bertie, is there anything else that you want to add or anything you want to say or share?
If they ever make a Lifetime of my movie, Lifetime movie of my life, I hope they cast you as yourself.
Well, then please move forward quickly, okay? Those are kind words. Thank you. I'd love to be a part of that, all right? And, yeah, whatever. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For your, obviously, your transparency, your willingness to open up. A Better Life, Brianna's Hope's here for you. I don't know where home is for you, but I...
Where do I?
I guess we probably got a chapter close by where I would love to take you into the first meeting you could go to.
That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. God bless you, listeners. God bless you. Stay in the battle. You've heard reasons here to give up, to let go. It's not worth it. Bertie's refused to do that. Why don't you refuse to give up as well? Stay in that battle. Keep working at it. It'll come. You too can get that happiness, that peace that she's after. And if you're on that trail after what she's been through, guess what? She found it for today. And she's going to dig deeper into it. She found it in God. He's there for you as well. Thank you. God bless. Stay in the battle.